pleased to ask our brother Mike McStravick to come forward now and bring to us the word of exhortation. Brother Mike, please.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must say that I can't think of another period in my life where I wanted my Lord to return more than I do now. It's because we want all of life's problems to come to an end. I won't have to worry about my future, about my family's future, about my brothers and sisters in Christ's health. We have continued changes in our ecclesial life, don't we? And sometimes it would seem so wonderful for me if I could just bury my head in the sand and let all these things pass me by. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want us to just spend a moment and pausing and reflecting upon what we've been confronted with, even over the past year in our ecclesia. What has happened within our midst in that short space of time? Can you remember what we were dealing with as an ecclesia this time last year? Because our memories, they're so fleeting. They're so fleeting. We just continue to move on in our lives. And I think it's useful from time to time to just pause and reflect on where God has brought us so that we can take comfort in where He's going to be leading us. Especially during times of uncertainty. So I want to think back only a year and reflect upon some of these things that have transpired, things that have affected us all. Now, of course, in doing so, we inevitably miss some things which were of significance to others, because some things are more significant to some than to others. So what was it that our ecclesia was confronted with this time last year and that we were all earnestly praying for? Well, we remember that our brother John and sister Dinah were pregnant with their unborn baby, and he had some extreme health issues. Boaz was a huge concern for us at the time and for them. We received many updates on his progress as he developed in the womb, and our prayers continued for them. And then we received an answer. And some of our trials, brothers and sisters, seem so prolonged before we get an outcome, before we get an answer. And yet other trials are a result of something that happens in an instant. And so the concerns that we had in October and in November turned to joy for us into December, because Boaz was born, and despite all the tubes and the doctor's surgery, the poking, the prodding, God provided us an answer. And we're blessed to have him in our midst. And Susanna was born shortly afterwards. I think it was in January. And so we had two new babies in our midst. But we can't let December pass us by without remembering another significant and special event. Saturday, December 22nd. We had a wedding of our brother Jeremy and sister Elizabeth. And we're looking forward to another birth of a little baby in a short time. God willing. And God works with us, brothers and sisters, through both joy and through sadness. And both of these things are necessary to accomplish His purpose. But it seems that when we go through times of sadness, times of trial, times of difficulty, that we realize how much more we desperately want and need our Lord's return. There's a section of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7 that says, "A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. for that is the end of every man, and the living take it to heart. Our lives are constantly changing, and we're constantly being molded as an ecclesia and shaped, pressed together in trials and joys, so that in the end, we might have a well-functioning ecclesia. 1 Corinthians speaks to us of this body. 1 Corinthians 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." In February, our ecclesia held its second CBM fundraiser, where we had the opportunity to raise over $10,000 for the work of gospel proclamation. Remember, our brother Gordon was the auctioneer, and it was only one short month later where he went into hospital, being confused and not able to speak to us coherently. So despite the more public examples of sickness that we have, we have others in our midst who, despite being extremely sick, continue in quiet dedication to serve in the ecclesia, to support our body, and to be an example of faithfulness and devotion. You know who you are. Throughout the last year, we've also had many members joining us and some leaving us. Brother Dave and Sister Kess left for us up in Courtney, and we had a number of families joining us since September, even up until last weekend, where we saw the addition to our body of our new sister Andrea and the loss of our body of our brother Jeff. Brothers and sisters, that's a lot of change in the span of 1 year. And God gives us these changes for a reason. He gives us challenges. He gives us trials so that we can continue to give Him praise and glory by showing that we trust in Him, in His decisions, and ultimately in His outcomes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And verse 11, a little bit of a paraphrase, "He gives some of us to be apostles," or messengers of the gospel, "some prophets and some evangelists," some of who speak the word well, and "some pastors who nurture and care for the body, and some teachers, for the purpose of perfecting you and I into saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So remembering these things, brothers and sisters, we are not to bury our heads in the sand and hope that it all passes away. For there may be much more in store for us as God works with us and through us to shape and to develop each and every one of us. Our Lord Jesus was faced with a trial that we can't even imagine. What would you do, brothers and sisters, with your time, knowing that you had less than a week to live? Well, this morning we were reading about some of the things that our Lord did in His last week of life. I want us to just go there in reflection this morning, beginning in John chapter 13. Tells us, as we opened our reading in John 13, that Jesus, knowing that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the end. Well, how did he love them? And in this particular account, he continues to love them through an example of washing the disciples' feet. The leader of this small group of individuals humbles himself beneath what his own apostles even felt comfortable with, and he becomes a servant to them. He says in verse 7, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." And verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Brothers and sisters, how God is working with our ecclesia and its members, we may not comprehend in the present, but we will understand at some point. Our calling, in the meantime, is to do as our Lord commands us, and to continue to look for ways in which we can wash one another's feet, where we can fill those desperate needs of service. Our Lord encourages us to do what He did, to focus our lives on the service and the care of others, despite our own circumstances, our own challenges. "If you know these things," He says in verse 17, "you are blessed if you do them." Our Lord goes on to tell them in verse 33, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Brothers and sisters, at this point, I think it is worth acknowledging that our body is undergoing an extreme trial in the case of our brother Gordon and in others that will remain nameless. But in the case of our brother Gordon, we have seen a trial placed upon a family that no one would wish upon any family. And yet we see here also in our readings today that in our Lord we find a trial placed upon him that we wouldn't wish upon anyone either. And our Lord continues on in chapter 14 by saying, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus knew his hour had come. None of us in this room know when our hour has come. So how we live each day is so very important. Revelation 3 and 2 says, "To strengthen one another while the time remains." Our Lord died in order to provide a place for us. And He desires each one of us to be there in His dwelling. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And as we bring our exhortation to a close, brothers and sisters, I want to end by reading a portion of an exhortation that was given in this ecclesia on March 10th, 2013. March 10th, 2013 was the last date we heard an exhortation from our brother Gordon. Now, I was away for this particular exhortation. I'm not sure if I was speaking in another ecclesia somewhere. I'm not sure where I was, but it was in the week following that we were informed that he had gone into hospital and he was diagnosed with a tumor. And I remember when we went for a visit, he was quite sociable and chatty, and he talked about his exhortation. He was quite upset that he couldn't remember his exhortation, and he was wondering if it made any sense. And he was wondering, he went on to explain how he normally prepares exhortations he would read the readings a week or two in advance, and he would just sort of let them mull over in his mind, and then a day or two before the exhortation, he could just sit down and he could pull it all together. Which for me was quite amazing, because that's not how I am able to prepare exhortations. But he said with this particular exhortation, he says nothing was coming to me. He says it was just I did the readings and I just couldn't pull it all together. And he was so concerned that he had given a message that he couldn't remember the message that he had given. And so I listened to it last week for the very first time. Sorry, Brother Jeff, I thought I was going to worry about you last week, and now I'm worried about myself. The exhortation that I listened to was actually quite coherent. And it brought tears to my eyes. Because when we think about it, these were words of exhortation from a brother who had absolutely no idea that particular exhortation might have been his last exhortation to his flock. Yet, as I listened to his words, they so very much mirrored the language of our Lord and the love that he had for his flock. I transcribed a portion of this as I was listening to it, and I thought it would be very appropriate for us to bring our exhortation to a close with our brother Gordon's some of his words of his last exhortation to us. Because it brought comfort to me, and as we read this morning in John chapter 14, when Jesus said, "Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so the words of our brother Gordon will bring us to a conclusion. And the words that I'll be reading are all from that last exhortation. And the exhortation in March, we remember that there was a brother Alex from El Salvador at this time who was kidnapped. And our brother Gordon came up and he was encouraging each one of us to pray for this brother. And the exhortation was centered in the Gospel of Luke. And in listening to it, we can acknowledge that it didn't have the usual flair and liveliness that we remember of our brother Gordon. He seemed a bit distracted. But the message was a message which I think is beautiful for us to bring to conclusion this morning as we remember all that our Lord did for us as well. These are the words of our brother Gordon. He was contemplating the amount that our Lord Jesus Christ prays. What lays ahead for us, brothers and sisters, as we look at the gospel record and see what is taking place in the life of the disciples, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is ahead for us? And so we have a particular joy that is ahead of us, a wonderful joy in actual fact. But in the meanwhile, as we look through the gospel records, we see that there is difficulty. It isn't always easy. Life is a struggle. Many of us, we struggle with illness and particular difficulties. And so we need to be aware of these things as we go ahead of the days of the week. My brothers and sisters, please consider the needs of others, he said. But my dear brothers and sisters, we must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross so that it may be that whatever difficulty we might find ourselves in, we are going, my brothers and sisters, we are going to have to endure it. Somehow, he said, we're going to have to get through it. Because there is indeed something ahead for us. There is indeed the right hand of God where we will be. And then he quoted from Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And he concluded by saying, and certainly this is true for any of us who go through any particular difficulties, any challenges, any particular temptations. He said, there are pleasures forevermore at the right hand of our God.